You shall not murder. That is it. Four little words. It's just two words in the original Hebrew. You shall not murder. It sounds so simple. We should just be able to stop there. Maybe should we sing a song and go and grab a coffee? You shall not murder. Got it? Got it? And yet, here's the thing. I've got a confession to make. And I've got a serious problem to share. Is it okay if I tell you my confession? Are you sure? Okay, here it is. I have broken this command. I'm sorry if it comes as a shock to you, but it is true. That's my confession. I've got a serious problem to share. Is it okay if I tell you? Are you sure? Okay, here it is. You have broken this command as well. Every single person in this room, every single person on this planet. Well, listen up, we're going to have a think about why. But before we do that, we're going to hear what Jesus has to say to us first. I'm going to invite Claire, who's going to come and bring us a little reading from Matthew chapter 5.
Great, so this reading is from Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 21. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to our people long ago, you must not murder anyone, and anyone who murders another will be judged. But I tell you, if you are angry with your brother or sister, you will be judged. And if you say bad things to your brother or sister, you will be judged by the Jewish council. And if you call your brother or sister a fool, then you will be in danger of the fire of hell. So, when you offer your gift to the Lord at the altar, and you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go and make peace with him. Then come and offer your gift. If your enemy is taking you to court, become friends with him quickly. You should do that before you go to court. If you don't become their friend, they might turn you over to the judge. And the judge might give you to a guard and put you in jail. I tell you that you will not leave that jail until you have paid everything you owe."
Thank you very much, Claire. Well, to help us think about our true story today, I have got three things. I've got a smoke alarm. I've got a tube of toothpaste. And I've got some gardening tools. They are going to help us understand our true story from the Bible. And grown-ups, you should have those headings on the back of your service sheet. Kids, you should have one of the A3 ones, which give you space if you would like it. But before we, they're going to help us with our passage, but before we even get there, I've got a question for you. What's wrong with murder? Just turn to the person next to you for a second. Have a think. What's wrong with murder? Now, I don't mean it as a trick question. But why is murder wrong? I think it's a helpful question for us because although I hope all of us agree that it's wrong and everyone in our community would, we've still got to answer why. Yeah, some people might say, well, it's just not right. Others might say, well, we shouldn't do it because it makes us feel unsafe. Others might say, well, we need rules like this to keep us safe. But I guess that leads to the question of why. And who gets to decide whether a life is worth protecting or not? I think those are questions our world can't answer, but Christians can. In fact, it's God alone who gives us the solid base. He alone can tell us why it's wrong. And he says it's wrong because God says every single person on this planet has dignity and worth, that we are precious and valuable because God has made us and we represent him. Grown-ups, that's what it means when it says in Genesis 1 that God has made us in his image. From the very first moment in our mummy's tummy, God says we are valuable. That our lives are worth protecting, that we must do everything we can to do that. Now, I hope that sounds all pretty sensible. But here's the thing, each of us are surrounded by images and voices that kind of teach us the opposite. In fact, kids, have a look at the screen. Because even as kids, we can spend hours armed to the teeth in computer games racking up massive body counts. And those games are often fun, aren't they? But they're all about killing people. TV, it shows us endless stories of bombings and killings, all of them justified as necessary. And even our film heroes point us away. James Bond is hardly a model of anger management, is he? In fact, here's where our smoke alarm comes in. Let me read you those words from Jesus again. Jesus said, "You've heard it said to people long ago, you shall not murder. And anyone who murders will face God's judgment. But I tell you that anyone who's angry with a brother or sister will face the same judgment." Have a think with me. What happens, kids, what happens when a smoke alarm goes off? What happens? Do you just sit still and chill out? Panics! Yeah? When a smoke alarm goes off, everyone starts to panic. Here's the thing. When you get to be a grown-up, you realise that smoke alarms are one of the most sensitive things in the house. Yeah, a computer, that will take time to process stuff. A smoke alarm isn't bothered with processing. It just freaks out at the slightest hint of anything's wrong. It is 100% sure there is absolutely, definitely a fire and you should panic. I think our anger is a bit like this. When someone says something unkind to you, when you get the slightest whiff that something is unfair, part of our brain, it's called the amygdala, it reacts with panic. Just making sure you're still awake at the back. Without really stopping to think, we shout, we fight, we hurt, we murder people in our hearts. We're going to think a little bit more about that in a minute, but we're going to sing as we do. We're going to think about how our gardening tools and our toothpaste fit in. But we've got a song. So if you're able, can I invite you to stand? And we'll sing this together. Story. Do you remember the smoke alarm? It's that bit inside of us that can fight so quickly. Grown-ups, isn't it so true that when you're angry and you speak, you make the best speech you will ever regret? Now, let's keep thinking about God's special command, though. Because he said, do you remember it? You must not murder anyone. Do you remember Jesus' words as well? He says, anyone who's angry with a brother or sister will face God's judgment. And then he told us a story. He told a story about someone who spoke rudely to another person and called them a fool. The person in Jesus' story is basically saying the other person is so useless, they don't deserve to be alive. It's like saying, I wish you were dead. I wish you'd never been born. Well, here's where our tube of toothpaste comes in. Reese, can you come and help with this for me, man? You see, this is a lovely tube of toothpaste, but what happens when you squeeze a tube of toothpaste? The toothpaste comes out. What's on the inside comes out. Thank you, mate. Yeah, hold on, don't fiddle with it. It's a highly, highly engineered piece of cardboard. It's the same with us. When you squeeze us, what's on the inside of us starts to come out. If we're full of God, you'll see that. But if we're full of other things, you'll see that too. So while we should be full of good things like love and peace and gentleness and self-control, what often comes out of us are things like hatred. Instead of lovely minty toothpaste, well, you might get loads of bad things instead. I asked Fidel to write down all the things that were in his heart earlier. Shall we see? Just take the cap off. Here we go. Squeeze the toothpaste. What falls out? Oh, my goodness. Oh, we've got no... There's no toothpaste. Now, I asked Fidel to write down some of the things that we can often do. Reese, shout, what have we got here? What does that one say?
Smashing.
Keep going, read them.
Shout at mom.
Yep.
Verbal bullying.
Yep.
Hatred. Lash out. Guilt slash regret. Anger.
Switching off the electricity.
Switching off the electricity. Kicking at doors.
Smash it. Here we go. What have we got before? Punching walls. Who slammed a door before? Grown ups, anyone slammed a door? Yeah. For the recording, that was everyone nodding. What have we got here? Slamming window, that's a good one.
Avoiding class,
obliteration.
Stealing from the drawer slash cupboard, punching walls.
When you squeeze us, what's inside us comes out, just like a tube of toothpaste. When someone does something that makes us angry, it's like we murder them in our heart. And you see how suddenly all of us have broken this command? The smoke alarm can go off quickly. The toothpaste reveals that what's inside will come out when the pressure's on. Here's our final thing. Can you come and hold these for me? Okay, what are these? They are some gardening tools. There was a Christian writer a while ago who wrote a book. He had a chapter in his book called Do You Have a Serious Problem with Anger? It is one of the shortest chapters you will ever read. It is one word long. Here it is. Do you have a serious problem with anger? Yes. Full stop. Chapter 3. Now, you and I have an anger problem. And Jesus says, if we don't get it under control, we are in danger of facing his judgment, facing an eternity without him. It is serious. It is difficult stuff, isn't it? It's why we need to get our gardening tools out. Hold those up, wave them around. Reese, you're welcome to have a seat. Thank you so much. Why is Jesus teaching us about God's special rules? He's saying that, well, murder is the final most destructive form of anger. It's where every toddler tantrum, teenage rampage, marital argument, road rage incident would end up. if it wasn't caught beforehand. Boys and girls, do you see how much God loves you? That while he sees how angry we can get and how much damage that can cause, he wants to help you. Do you see how much he wants to help you? He doesn't just want to stop us killing people, but to stop all of those thoughts and those words and those actions that act like little seeds that start to grow. What happens when you water a seed? It grows. It'll grow from a seed into a bush and then into a tree. Now, Jesus says when we feed our angry thoughts, well, they'll grow into angry words. And when we feed those angry words, they'll grow into angry actions. Before we even get to that point, though, we need to weed them out. Now, we need to see where our anger's growing. We need to notice where we're thinking bad things, and we need to, well, we don't need to feed them, we need to weed them. Now, we don't need to feed them, we need to weed them. Now, we're coming into land. And so let me point you to Jesus as we do. Let me borrow that. You can go sit down. Thank you very much for your help. See, while we often get angry in the wrong way, God only ever gets angry in the right way. Now, you didn't mishear me. God gets angry. The Bible says God gets angry, and the Bible says that is a good thing. But let's face it, if God didn't get angry at the pain and bad things in our world, he wouldn't be a good God. God is rightly angry at the bad things out there and the bad things in here, the pain that we cause. And yet the amazing news of the Bible, that the news that should get us out of bed each morning and bring us to worship every Sunday, is that rather than turn his anger on us, he took his anger himself. That Jesus was killed for killers like us. He was murdered so that we could have life. And we show he's at work in us now as we honour and protect the life he has given by weeding out our anger and planting grace and forgiveness instead. We are going to have a little craft that helps us to think about that. But will you join me in praying for that first? Father, we pray that you would help us to be those who weed our anger rather than feed it. That you would help us to be people of peace and forgiveness. That we would maybe remember the smoke alarm, the toothpaste, the gardening tools. And they would remind us of your good, true story. That Jesus came and died so that we might be your friends. He took your perfect anger because of our really bad anger. And we pray that you'd help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to have a craft, and Josie and Debbie are going to bring that round. But grown-ups, here's some questions that you might like to think about as well. They're printed on the back of your church family news. How might we be guilty of just joining in the anger worship of our culture? What does it mean for our view of different groups? How can we be those who are slow to anger and quick to forgive? As we do this craft and chat, maybe chew on those with the people beside you.